For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, September the 5th, 1982. Teaching and deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas, over the Labor Day weekend. Chuck Flynn is the speaker of the evening.
I'm amazed at how many facets of the menstrual anointing God's raising up to loose the offices that He wants brought forth in our day. Sometimes we feel the office of the ministry of the Word is primary, but it seems like through the experience of Elisha, the menstrual anointing is what is primary. He said, I can't prophesy to get the army water until you get me a minstrel, somebody that can sing the power down. Somebody that can praise and release the prophetic utterance and release water for the army. Amen? We appreciate our brother's ministry. Each one that's contributed on the instruments. Hallelujah. How wonderful it is. Praise God. We'd like to inform you, some have questions about take your authority or take your dominion over the land. David Ingalls has recently, from our teaching on dominion over the land, from Jeremiah 22:22 or 22:29, O earth, 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 hear ye the word of the Lord. And the Lord showed us that every saint has that power and that authority. Now, while we're setting each other free, remember, we're from the dirt, and we must set the dirt free. So when you take authority over the land, that lifts off of mankind and off of your business and off of your family also the pressures that would try to again bring you into bondage. So when you take authority over the land and over your business, see, this is what loose and liberates you. And that's why the Lord gave us that key before He made a great proclamation that stopped the lineage of Solomon from ever having the David's greater son, the Messiah, that would rule upon David's throne forever because of the sin of Coniah, Jeremiah 22:29. Before God made that great proclamation that none of His loins would ever have the Messiah. Jeconiah or Coniah, they had sinned past that point of the demarcation of God's grace. So God says, He gets the permission of the earth, and He says, O earth, 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 hear ye the word of the Lord. Count this man childless. In other words, no firstborn is ever going to rule on the throne of David from your loins. All the way back to Solomon. And that's why you have the lineage of David through Solomon in Matthew chapter 1. It hinges on that verse in Jeremiah. Because it just gives you the lineage down to Joseph the carpenter. And that's it. Joseph couldn't by normal means have the son. He was of the lineage of, he had the kingly and the royal crown authority, but he could not have him normally. So God had to revert back to Genesis 3:15, pick up the seed of the woman, and come into Psalms 91, verse 1, and pick up the shadow of the Almighty. And he put the seed and the shadow in Mary, who was of the lineage of David. In Luke 3, she was also in the bloodline, and there's where the virgin birth come forth. Hallelujah. But God took authority over the earth before He could have the virgin birth. And when you know that great importance of that theme, then as a child of the King, you and I take the authority over the earth, giving it back to the Father, and everything that you have to do with in your sphere of reference is loosed by the earth that you have taken authority over. So take your dominion. And that's why the authority of the Lord is moving upon us this weekend, is to just set the stage for that which God wants to transpire within us. Hallelujah. So get ready. We've only just begun. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Take your dominion. From Psalms 8 also we deal with. Psalms 8 was David's testimony of what happened to him. The spiritual applications he wanted us to know from his battle with Goliath. If you ever had an experience that then you can spiritually apply it, that's what David did in Psalms 8. It's in memory of his battle with Goliath. I found out that God's revelation through his word is like a smooth stone. As a man would take a smooth stone and throw it across a body of water, and as a stone skips, every place it hits on the body of water, it makes little ringlets. So it is with the word of God. God takes a smooth stone, which that rock is Christ. Hallelujah. He throws different themes across his word, and every place it lights, it makes little ringlets of revelation. And every so often you'll see the army of the Lord just come to the forefront. Starting with Genesis 46, verse 1 to 4. Genesis 49, 1 Chronicles 12, 32, and verse 38. Joel 2, 7. On into the New Testament the army of the Lord's mentioned, and culminates in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, means don't break your ranks. Keep in the army. Hallelujah. Oh, the Lord is good. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. In fact, there's one course. Does anybody know that course? He's just begun. Oh, I learned that in Pittsburgh. Anybody from Pittsburgh?
That's Ben Worley's song.
He's just begun to move in our generation. And though he's done so much, he'll do much more. Love, so lift your eyes and hold brand new vision. For our Lord has only just begun. Come on up and sing with me, brother. Amen. Can't let a good thing like that go by. We've had a lot of requests. Bernadine, get up here.
10 minutes ago, this song was going through my mind.
You hear him? 10 minutes ago, it was going through his mind. So, and I thought we should sing it, but then I thought, oh, well, I'll just go ahead with the word. But we've had a lot of requests. We're going to sing anyway. Part of that.
Our God has just begun to move our generation. And though he's done so much, he still will do much more. Lift your eyes, behold a brand new vision. For our God has only just begun. He's done so much, he still will do much more. Lift up your eyes, behold a brand new vision. For our God has only just begun. Our God has just begun to move in our generation. He still will do much more. Lift up your eyes and behold a brand new vision. For our God, he has just. Hallelujah.
just begun to rule in our generation. Although he's done so much, he still will do much more. Lift up your eyes, behold a brand new nation. For our God, he has only just begun. Our God has just begun to move our generation. Although he's done so much, he still will do much more.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So lift your eyes. Behold a brand new vision. For our God has only just begun.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Better put that on the course sheet. Hallelujah. That's a goodie. I remember in the early 70s, 71... when we first taught of Christ for the Nations, we would, the Spirit of the Lord would lay upon our heart to just release. We would ask the Lord to direct us what course. We'd take one course, and not that it was even planned, to seem like there'd be one course that would really hit. And for hours, just praising and adoring. Students that out of those different classes, I can almost tell which year they were at Christ for the Nations on the course that they sang. We'll never forget that David's, you know, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. We'll remember the Lord our God. We just stood in praise for, sang that course, then prophesied, then danced, then sang. Same course. Hallelujah. Another one was, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Another one was Psalms 175. The Lord our God, O Israel. Somebody, Israel. The world. Beautiful courses that the Lord would emphasize. So in 1971, when we moved our family in for 6 weeks and taught with Brother Lindsay and Brother Alan Beck, just a small class, Christ for Nation, under 100. But when we left, we wanted to have the student by just seeing some of the courses, and so I'd make a tape of them, and then I could, you know, learn them and pass them on as I traveled around. And we did, and that pattern was set. And those courses have helped so many in the body of Christ. It's unbelievable. And then Brother Mike Massa came in, and God used him marvelously. Other brethren are taking over. It's just beautiful how the menstrual anointing is being enhanced. Hallelujah. So we praise God for that. Every one of us have a position of importance in the furthering of the word. Amen? Aren't you glad you're a minister and under roar? And we all row together. Hallelujah. Oh, we're very essential, everyone, to the oar of God. Hallelujah. Well, I found a new verse that I thought I'd read tonight, Hebrews 8, verse 1. Some of you just kept your finger in Hebrews 8. I'll tell you what, you wouldn't believe this, but over Jim Hester's church in Dallas, I had a sword drill for one of my tapes, and the one that would stand up and read my text, the first one, received this tape free. I just love to do that, and everybody that brings their Bibles, of course, has a chance. And so out at Arlington, Texas, I said, I think it was Isaiah 57:15. Anyway, I said, Isaiah 57:15. And when I got to the 15, she started reading. Thus saith the high and the holy one. Wait a minute, sister. How did you get that so fast? I asked the Lord if he'd show me which one you're going to call. That's not fair. It actually happened. You got to get up early to keep up with the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Last week in Orange, California, same thing happened. So I told this. I said, Brother, how'd you get that so quick? He said his Bible just fell open. And there it was. So he started reading it just as soon as I called it up. Well, the Word of God is good for us to be familiar with. Amen. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the... We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. I'd like to have you underline that. Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. A good one to underline. He is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand. Would you please underline that? Sometimes we miss the intimacy of God. Just underline that. I made the covenant with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand. Aren't you glad he takes us by the hand? Amen. I love that. I really appreciate when the Lord told about Joseph. He said, Joseph, when your soul went into the iron and your feet hurt, I was there with you. I don't know how psychologists today would explain how a soul goes into the iron, but God knows when it does. God knows when your feet hurt. Oh, I like that. Amen? I like that. How intimate the Lord is. He knows when our feet hurt. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful thing. Even some of the most unusual events, that, like Sarah laughing, you know, when he told Abraham, you're going to have a son. Sarah laughed, and then later on the Lord turned her and said, yeah, Sarah, when I told Abraham you guys were going to... You laughed. I did not. Yes, you did. I did not. Sarah, you did too laugh. Here's the creator of the stars and the universe. You did too. It's beyond me. We think sometimes he's up there just ready to clobber us. You did too laugh. But I'm still going to use you. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm still going to use you. I love him. Amen. He understands. When he went to Lazarus' tomb, Mary was weeping. Some of us would have said, Mary, I wish you'd quit weeping. What? You're on the staff here. My goodness. You should trust me more than that. Get the tape recorder out. Get the video machines. This is my better side, fellas. When I say Lazarus come forth, let's put up a magazine. That's the way some of us would have done, huh? Let's get on radio. Get the video machines going. And Mary, please don't weep. Discourages faith. The Bible says he wept. Amen. The shortest verse in the Bible. Say it with me. Jesus wept. The previous verse says when he saw Mary and the other Jewish people weeping. Now, really, this shows the tenderness of the Lord. It shows how tender he is. That even though she was weeping, he was troubled by her weeping. The Bible says he was troubled in his spirit, and he groaned. He groaned. And the word groan is the cry of an animal, and it is the cry of a horse. As a horse would whinny. So Jesus groaned something like this. Oh, God. And then he wept with her. If he hadn't said Lazarus, the whole bunch would have come. Amen. But he knows how to weep with us. Even though in the next few moments, he'll take us out of that weeping and give us joy. Lazarus, come forth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's our Lord. Praise God. So he says, remember the covenant. Because in that day, I made that covenant with your fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. And I regarded them not, saith the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. I'm in verse 10 of Hebrews 8. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me. Underline that. All shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Praise the Lord. So Paul speaks of it in this fashion. He said, what happened to Moses and to Israel was for our ensample or example. So in Exodus 35, verse 30, we have one of the most unusual dealings of the Holy Spirit, as he mentions here in verse 5, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. See to it that you make it according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. So God is speaking to Moses in Exodus 35 and verse 30. I want you to underline portions of that. The Lord dealt with me along this line. I've shared it with some. But I want to begin with this tremendous releasing that our high priest is pitching his tabernacle. It's his army. The term pitched means we're ready for warfare. We're ready to hear the commands of the king. Amen. We're prepared. The old covenant's already decayed around us. We are ready for the new covenant. Our high priest is upon us to bring us into that which he's already showed us in the mount. So Exodus 35, verse 30 says, "And Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah." Now here's Bezalel. He has a heritage of praise and working with leadership. He was one, Aaron was the other man that held up the arms of Moses, and the battle was won. He was a descendant of Hur. And Hur held up one arm, Aaron held up the other, and the victory was won. He was also of the tribe of Judah, which means praise. So here's a man that could exercise the beauty of praise and cooperation with leadership. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name, Bezalel. In Numbers 6:22, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would raise his hands to bless the people, and 10 times he would make this proclamation, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. 10 times. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And at the end of those 10 times of blessing, then the Father says, Put my name on them. The name of the Father was placed upon the people. This is the blessing of God that he bestows upon each one of us. He lifts up David in chapter 4 of Psalms. He pulls that old hood back and shows his red hair, and he cries out to the Father, Lord, lift up thy countenance upon us. What's he saying? He's taking the high priest authority. He's going back into the Day of Atonement power. And he says, through the atonement, God is raising up his countenance upon his people. And that's why 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6 says, We will have the knowledge of the grace of God through the face of Jesus Christ. His countenance is upon us. Therefore, he says, this treasure, what treasure? The countenance of the Lord is going to be on in earthen vessels. Earthen vessels doesn't mean a pitcher of water closed at one end. Earthen vessels means an adobe pipe open at each end, and when the anointing of God flows through one of us, we're just a section, and we're attached to somebody else and to somebody else. And when you initiate praise and worship, that initiates someone else to praise. The glory flows through you. Hallelujah. When you get released and the anointing of God flows through your life, you initiate deliverance and relief in somebody else. When you begin to give, hallelujah, to the kingdom of God, then that initiates somebody else to release also. Hallelujah. It's what I call ricochet anointing. Ping, ping. It keeps going. This treasure is in earthen vessels. That means everything you do, you help someone else to yield to the Lord. Amen. So that's exactly now what he's saying to Bezalel. This is why the Spirit of the Lord. In verse 31, I'm back to Exodus 35, verse 31. And he hath filled him, God hath filled him, Bezalel, with the Spirit of God. Please by put down number one, in wisdom. Number two, in understanding. Number three, in knowledge. Number four, in all manner of workmanship. And number five, that he may teach. It's in verse 34. Okay, let's read those verses. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. And to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in the cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of wood to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach, both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver, of the cunning workman, and of the embroiderer in blue and in purple, in scarlet, and in fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work. And of those that devise cunning work. Amen, amen. Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary. You tie that in with that Jesus in verse 2 is a minister of what? The sanctuary. The true sanctuary. According to all that the Lord had commanded. And these were called in verse 2, and Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come into the work or come unto the work to do it. Praise God. The Lord is equipping his people. What happened to them was for an example of what's happening now. In the building of the tabernacle of Moses, the Holy Ghost came upon a group of men and gave them inventive power. How to dig for the ore of silver, gold, and all types of metal, how to mine it, how to cut a diamond and to set them, how to weave, how to cut wood. Every vocation, the state of art was known by the Spirit. 2 weeks ago, the Father placed upon my prayer life this theme. Release the state of art. Release the spiritual state of art in the church. Release it. And for 1 week, I was speaking in tongues wherever I went. Every idle moment, loose the state of art. Loose the state of art. The spiritual state of art is released. We're going to see greater things done. Greater things. The anointing of the Lord's upon us. We don't know where we're going, but we're going. Hallelujah. New things. Fresh equipment. The body of Christ shall be anointed and equipped in every vocation, in scientific fields, in all types of media fields, in politics, in agriculture, in everything. God will have a witness. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And it's here. These were wise-hearted men. Because the Holy Ghost worked on them. Now, Father, raise up wise-hearted men. Amen. We're ready. How is he doing it? Moving in our minds with the Word and writing by the Spirit on our heart. Two ways, that's what he said. I'm going to work in their minds. I'm going to work and let the Spirit write it. Fresh poem on their heart. And every line is going to harmonize with other events and other members of the body of Christ until I know every one of my people are moving here and there. And the advancement, hallelujah, the calibers, the glory, the military might, the synchronizing of the spirit of man synchronizes with the spirit of God. And we're at the right place at the right time. Glory to God. Do it, Father. If God did that to build the tabernacle of Moses, look out, because he's building the tabernacle of his body, his people. You think the computers, IBM, is ahead of the Holy Ghost? Holy Ghost don't have to do like Japan did, you know, give it sub rosa under the table. Holy Ghost is the one that will reveal it. And how? And who do we get off? There's probably a lot of people born again that are working in that fashion. That are at the state of art. In military. In other words, the Lord has people everywhere. Hallelujah. One of the great crises. You never heard of it, probably. But we had a tremendous crisis in the Saturn program. I was in propulsion on the S-4B. I was working on my master's program at Chapman College in Orange, California. I gave work orders and timings to the brilliant engineers. I was part of their sort of police force to keep them going, to help them and whatever means possible. I had all the money to back them, just get them through that problem if one arose. So in propulsion, it was McDonnell Douglas's responsibility in Huntington Beach to come up with the helium starter in Huntington Beach. To come up with the helium starter. Now, the first stage was built by Chrysler in the Saturn program, and that took them out from the Earth's atmosphere. Then the S-4B took them on into the moon, shut down its engines. The capsule went down to the moon. One man stayed in the S-4B. And it continued to orbit around the moon. We had meeting after meeting. There was no way possible that we could get that helium starter to restart. It was one of the greatest problems of the aerospace industry. It almost wiped us out. Time. The meetings were of such a tremendous time went by. Pressures built. Brilliant minds. We would, of course, I sort of was there. But oh my, I saw the, and I got in on the tremendous pressure of it. But the Lord put me at the right place, the right time. I was able to really work with the engineers and do all I can to keep them level. But it was an impossibility. And one morning as I left for work, I stood at the door. My wife and I said, "Honey, come here." And we joined and prayed. And as we joined hands and prayed in the Holy Ghost in tongues, we broke the yoke. And in the name of Jesus, we commanded every obstacle and every force that would try to hinder this project to be bound in Jesus' name. 15 minutes after I got to work, the problem wasn't solved. It was dissolved. The engineers were quickened. They found not only the restarter, how it would work, but they found 4 backup systems for it. Or else we couldn't get our astronauts back to Earth. But there was a couple that knew the Holy Ghost power that prayed that thing through. Amen? And that didn't hit the front page, friend. But it hit God's throne. Glory to God! That's what I'm talking about. The Lord is lifting up today and moving through the fivefold ministry. Fivefold, read it. Wisdom, number one. Understanding, number two. Knowledge, number three. And in all manner of workmanship, number four. And the ability to teach, number five. That's your fivefold ministry the Lord's working on in His people. Brother, don't sit around and wait till the pulpits get fired up. My Lord, if we have to depend on the pulpits. I'm not down anybody. I'm just saying that's not God's purpose. God's purpose is He will involve the pulpits that will yield to Him, of course. But He's moving upon His people with a fivefold ministry. He wants those that have the heart of a pastor and those that have the zeal and the compassion of an evangelist, and those that had a revelation of a teacher, and those that will move in miracles of an apostle, and those that will speak and loose the prophetic gifts of the prophet. And it's going to be on all the body of Christ with all workmanship. The spiritual state of art shall be broken, and God's people will have the answer. For He will guide us into all truth, and He will show us things to come. That's the Urim and Thummim in the New Testament. Put this down in your notes. The Urim and Thummim in the New Testament is John 16, verse 13. When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, Jesus said, He will guide you into all truth. Complete truth. No loose ends. The symbol for truth is a circle, which Thummim means a circle. So put down in verse 13 of John 16, Thummim, for He will guide you into all truth. That means the Thummim anointing is upon you, which means a circle. And the symbol for truth is the circle. We are complete in Him means we are encircled by Him. There's no loose ends. Everything He does flows and blends into the other action of His life within us. Therefore, everything is complete in Him. Hallelujah. And nothing touches you but what the Father permits it. Jesus said to Pilate, after Pilate said, "You better talk to me, your life's in my hand." But Jesus said, "You cannot do one thing except the Father permits it." Amen. I'm encircled by the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what the word peculiar really means. Dr. Weiss said, around me, I have been encompassed by the Lord. Hallelujah. We're not peculiar because we raise our hands and talk in tongues and fall all over the place under the power and glorify God and shout and magnify the Lord. God says in Psalms 33, He says, the praise of the upright is comely. And the word comely there means beautiful, becoming. And if Emily Post was to translate it, she would say, the praise of the upright is etiquette. Hallelujah. That's exactly what it means. The word comely means etiquette. When I'm falling in the power, when I'm drunk in the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, I'm living in high society in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't put your shoulders down. We're that Holy Ghost group. Bless God. Hallelujah. Fall under the power and magnify God. Hallelujah. We might not know what to do with five forks, but we know how to fall under the power of God. Hallelujah. High society in the Holy Ghost. Amen. The praise of the upright is comely. My wife says, honey, if you're ever in that position where in the banquets we do find ourselves from time to time, she says, always take from the outside in. That's a good rule. From forks and spoons and anything. All right. This is why the Lord has expressed in His people that this is the fivefold ministry that fell upon them by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost taught them in their every vocation. So if the Holy Ghost taught them in every vocation, so now He's going to raise up the body of Christ throughout the world. And the world will give account of the body of Christ, because the Spirit of God is going to release not only the spiritual state of art, but every major vocation shall be released in the state of art by a Holy Ghost anointed child of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. It'll be so quick the Japanese couldn't even imitate us. The anointing of God. Did you know that, used to in my early childhood, anything that made in Japan was a little raunchy. Now if it's made in the United States, it's Mickey Mouse. Amen. Falls apart. It's about time. Why? Because when we studied last night in Psalms 2, where that the kings of this earth, that means the controlling of men's minds. It doesn't mean our president or the queen of England. It means the hierarchy of hell. The prince of our nation and other princes that tried to demoralize mankind. When they try to come against the home and the sanctity of marriage, reproduction of children lawfully. That's what the word bans means. Then it says, let us cut their cords asunder. And the word cords there, bands, means the home, the love, the honor of the home and the father image. But the cords means servitude. We're going to cut their cords from us asunder. And that means a band that's hired to do a job does it. Not out of men pleasing, but because he loves Jesus. There's a lack of service today throughout the world. People want to be paid three times what they're worth. And they don't want to make an effort to even live up to it.
There's a lack of good service today, of doing a job and even going beyond what's required so that the Lord would be pleased. For Elijah threw his mantle over Elisha while he was plowing a field. God appointed a man to be a prophet just by the way he plowed a field. Because Elisha said, I don't care how hard this ground is. And you can be sure everybody's trying to advise him. We've had meetings here, and we've had this. We've had that campaign, and this campaign. More pain than was camp. This place is burnt out. It just no. Elisha said, put another yoke of oxen on there. I'm going to plow this field. God, I'm going to plow it. Put another yoke on there. 12 yoke of oxen. 2 is normal. 4 oxen. 2 yoke. But he said, put another yoke on there. Just like he's going down I-4. And God said, man, if anybody is that determined, throw your mantle on them. They can be prophetic material. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's why when you do a job, you do it with all your might to please God. I don't care what harassment you receive from man, God will cause the wrath of men to praise him through your labor of love to the Lord. And God will promote you. Promotion cometh from who? From the Lord. Let's praise him with a clap offering. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. John, the 6th chapter, please. I'm going to have to close. We have such a high priest. He says, I'm going to equip you to have the ministry. Because of what I did, the anointing of my spirit came upon Bezalel, and they were creative in cutting of wood, in weaving, in tapestry, in mining, and in jewelry, every known state of art of that day, and every vocation, I taught them, saith the Spirit. How many of us have stopped at a problem on the job, got off somewhere, or in our spirit, just talked in tongues? You do that, and God will give you wisdom of what to do and what decisions, and cool your spirit to where you'll be surprised. God's anointing's upon you pertaining to your work. And many of us have goofed up on the provision of God because we allowed our emotional, soulish nature to overcome us because we didn't think the Spirit was interested in how we work in our jobs. We just thought, well, Lord, give us a better job. Help us to get a better job, or help us to do this, that. While you're working, God can make you inventive that you might take over the whole business. Hallelujah. Let's thank God for it. Learn how to talk in tongues over your job, over your business, over your finance, over your everything that you have, investments and your bank accounts. Talk in tongues. Lay your hand on your bank accounts. God will give you wisdom. God will multiply. Praise the Lord. You talk in tongues, the Holy Ghost can fix your fixed income. Amen. I said, Lord, how are you going to strengthen your people? I know that we're going to, and we are, already in the authority of the Word to do greater things. I know that in the last days the body of Christ shall be potent with power. But Lord, I need a witness. I'm just asking, and I just talked to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'd really like to know something, the procedure. He said, son, turn to John 6. So we're at John 6 now. the feeding of the multitude. Any pastor knows that John 6, besides the feeding of the multitude, is one of the hardest chapters to preach from. Drinking of his blood, eating of his body, you'll hardly ever hear of that. Except it'll be quoted around a communion service, but never hardly expositioned. There's mysteries here that God is showing, though. God's revealing. So he said, all right, read. I read the feeding of the multitude from verse 9. There is a lad here. I like that. Which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. Of course, a little word of caution, but what are they among so many? Why do we always have to shut doors of anointing with our mouths? But what are they among so many? We always got to evaluate, you know. Allow the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't evaluate. You got a lad here with five barley loaves and two small fishes. Now stop right there. Don't say, but what are they among so many? Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Please circle the key here is the three words, nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above. Now circle those two words, over and above, unto them that had eaten. All right. Verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And the Lord said to me, he said, son, this is the way I'm going to equip my people in the last days, in your day. And he says, it's this feeding of the multitude, which is approximately 15,000 people, counting women and children. Most scholars will agree. This feeding of the multitude was a type and shadow of what I'm going to do in the end time, the last days. And he said, the reason I let my disciples fill the baskets full is that all of my leadership, all of my people will have full baskets. I often wondered, Lord, why did you pray beyond the need? Why even have scraps? It was a hundredfold duplication. In the meantime, 15,000 people are filled. God is going to do a quick work, as James said in Acts 15, the tabernacle of David's going to be restored, and the plowman is all going to overtake the reaper. There's going to be a quick work. There'll be those equipped and filled that will be saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, set free in every facet of their life, and ready to move in power and the gifts and fruits of the Spirit immediately. Hallelujah. And they'll be like the lame man at the gate, beautiful. No one can come up to him and say, now, brother, you've been healed now. Now, this is the way we do it in the Pentecost. This is the way. Remember? One, two. I'm just kidding. Brother Hammond taught that. But there's going to be a quick work. making no lie, do you understand? The Spirit of God's going to touch people, and they're going to already be seasoned ministries, if you please. This is the thing that God's preparing us for. The anointing of the Lord is going to move upon God's people. The Holy Ghost will bring maturity and inventive power. And the prestige anointing of the high priest will be upon God's people. And the Lord is very serious about types and shadows. Moses, strike the rock. Yes, Lord. Pow! And out comes the water. The people are refreshed. Time goes by. The people are thirsty. Moses, yes, Lord. Front and center, yes. Don't strike the rock. Speak to it. Because, see, striking the rock was a type of Jesus being smitten on Calvary and the water of life coming forth. Now, Moses, once and for all is the sacrifice. Now you don't strike him again. You speak to him. So the generations to come will just say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Don't strike it, Moses. Moses, don't. And because of the people. No wonder God told Saul of Tarsus, I'm going to deliver you from the people. I'm not going to have any of my men to do something other than what I tell them to do in the last days. I'm not going to let them wander around the wilderness. We don't have the time in the first place. You're not going to go around those mountains two or three times. I'm going to teach you my words and my ways. And we don't have to tell each other, know the Lord. For all shall know me and be at the right place at the right time. Praise God. That's why he said, I'm going to deliver you from the people and from the Gentiles. Moses, don't strike. Don't. Pow. Those uncircumcised people are stiff-necked people. Moses was irritated by the people. How many ministries have gone down the tubes because of the irritation of the people? Well, if that's the way they want it, let them have it. When he struck the rock, the water come forth. But of course, the doors were shut. He couldn't go into the promised land until later on. God says, Moses, one day Moses heard the chariots of fire and there was such a commotion in heaven. There's something going on. Elijah. And then Moses heard his own name. Come to the throne. Front and center. I want you boys to go down and talk to my son. Elijah, I want to explain him. I want you to explain to him that you represent the fire company that's going to prepare his second coming. Moses, I want you to talk to him about the delivering qualities, the anointings of the gifts and fruits that I've given my people. As I took your spirit and gave it to the Sanhedrin, so I'll take his spirit and give it to my people. Explain that to him. And Moses' feet touched the land of promise. Hallelujah. Oh, our God is wonderful. Amen. Moses entered into the land of promise, and on the Mount of Transfiguration, he was there. Beautiful. So God is very, very careful to fulfill the types and shadows. So now let's go to verse 39 as we conclude. And this is, I'm at John 6, John's Gospel, the 6th verse. I want you all to underline the 6th chapter and the 39th verse. Here's the key now. He wraps it up, Jesus does. He says, this is what has happened now. Now he puts it into a spiritual context. For the last day. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. There's your key. Please underline it. I should lose nothing. Go back to verse 12. Nothing be lost. Okay? So that gives you enough what we call revelation relationship, that these scriptures don't go together. The healing or the feeding of the multitudes. Now Jesus gives us the spiritual application. And he says, of all which he hath given me. And Jesus always is in relationship to his people. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? So he's talking about from the foundation of the world, everything that the Father hath ever given mankind in the visitations of God. Jesus said, I'm going to lose nothing, but should raise it up, please circle, again, at the last day. There's your formula. That's the way the Lord's going to equip you and I. He's setting us free in every area of our life. And so Jesus is explaining now, as my disciples picked up the fragments, and they were all filled. Every basket was full, even Judas's basket. Now he says, everything that the Father hath given me, this is the reason he sent me, all that he hath ever given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again. Now, when you say again, that means it's been raised up once. Isn't that right? So here Jesus says, and he says, this is how I'm going to strengthen my people. I'm going to take the basket of glory, which is the bosom of the Father. I'm going to go down from the foundation of the world, and I'm going to go down through the centuries, after everybody had well eaten, I'm going to pick up the scraps. I'm going to put them in the basket of glory. And I'm going to pour them out upon my people and raise it up again for the last day. In the immoral day of Noah, the Lord goes back with his basket of glory. And after Noah and his family had well eaten and were preserved in the ark, and the flood came, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Jesus picks up the grace of Noah and puts it into the basket of glory. Comes on down to the faith of Abraham, where Abraham is the head and not the tail. He's blessed in the city and in the field. He picks up the anointing of the faith of Abraham and throws it in. Where the servant of Abraham was sent to get Rachel to be the bride of Isaac. Or Rebecca, is it Rebecca? Then the servant is the type of the Holy Spirit. Jesus picks up that anointing, puts it in the basket of glory. Picks up the prophecies of Jacob. All of his sons, puts her hand on the weakest place of Jacob's life. He limped for years. And then he says, boys, put your hand on my hip. The greatest battle I've ever had. The weakest place of his life. Jacob loosed the gifts and blessed his whole family. And verse 1 of Genesis 49 says, these prophecies are for the last days. Hallelujah. Amen. Puts them in the basket of glory. Hallelujah. Comes on down to the fire of Jeremiah. I'm not going to preach anymore, Jeremiah says, because the people are discouraging me. But there's a fire in my bones. I cannot keep still. But Jesus picks it up after Jeremiah had well eaten, puts it in the basket of glory. Daniel in the lion's den, he picks up that experience. After Daniel had well eaten of the preservation of his life, puts it in the basket of glory. The three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, and the fourth man walking with them and delivers them. But the thing that really is beautiful here is Jesus. You know, the main point of deliverance is that Jesus takes the smell of smoke off of you. Jesus was with them, but he took the smell of smoke off of them. Some people have been through fiery furnaces and been set free, but we still smell the smoke. Bitterness of heart. Unforgiveness, all types of cunning, cutting words. Let the Lord take the smell of smoke off of you. Hallelujah. Amen. Puts it in the basket of glory. Praise the Lord. Obadiah and Jonah, Micah, slam dunk, Nahum, Habakkuk, all through Zechariah, Malachi, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and give them the axe. Jesus said, I've preserved. And in the last days, saith God, I will pour out upon my people not only my spirit and tongues, but if you find yourself in an immoral situation, you got the grace of God. The grace of Noah is raised up again within you. If you find yourself that you need faith, the faith of Abraham, you become the head and not the tail. Hallelujah. If you find yourself in a lion's den, I'll give you the anointing that Daniel received. I will pour out of my spirit. I will raise it up again. And my people shall be well equipped for this hour. So rise up, my love, my fair one, and be equipped and come away, for I will send you forth, and you'll know my power, for yea, you will know the Lord, and his beauty shall be upon you, and I will raise up my glory. Every visitation of the Father, I will raise it up again upon you, and you'll be strong and do exploits, for this shall equip my own ones for this hour. Hallelujah. Shall we stand? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you because we have such a high priest. We thank you for the anointing and the peace and the glory of God. Lord, loose the anointing upon my brother. Loose the authority of the anointing upon my sister. And the glory of God, hallelujah, you will raise up again in every life. Equip us and release the state of art, the spiritual state of art, material state of art, scientific, audio states of art, in every field. Raise up your people to be inventive, creative, and advanced with all power. Thank you, Jesus. Yea, my people, you shall shine as the stars in the morning, for the day star has arisen in your heart, and my peace shall overwhelm you, and you shall be glad. Go thou forth and know that the Lord has provided for thee, and the abundance of my provision is already on you. So arise up and be glad, for the praise of the upright is very comely and etiquette, and you'll receive the prestige anointing, and you'll go forth in leaders' places, and you will advance, yea, with the lips of the Lord, and you'll speak my word and set leadership free, and those that are in, yea, in authority shall know there's a God, yea, dwelling in the hearts of his people. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. For that power and that authority is upon us beautifully for this hour. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is good. So, brother behind the one with the blue there, would you, just behind here. Yes, you, brother. Praise God. Just come on out. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Sister with your arms folded there, could you come down too? And there's a brother back. Yes, the brother in the white that I was talking to today. Would you come from Germany? You and your wife. For yea, the anointing of my presence shall have understanding and have wisdom. And therefore you'll know the fivefold anointing of my spirit. For I will make you inventive and my power shall come upon you. Do not fear, for the Lord thy God is not limited within you. You say, but there's certain things I'm not sure of. I'm limited. No, you're not limited in me, for my peace and my joy is over thee. And thou shalt surely glorify the name of the Lord. As you are loosed in my power, I'll open your understanding, and the desire of your heart is met in me, and you shall prevail, for my anointing has set you free, and you'll go forth speaking and yea, upholding many hearts with great joy. Amen. For that which the palm of worm and cake of worm did try to take away, I've restored it. I have melted your heart, yea, therefore, and these last hours have been most graceful. For you've come this night, yea, but my portion is great upon thee, and I will show you my admonition. For I will set you free, and with the high arm of Abraham I have, yea, healed thee, and the knowledge of the Lord shall flow through your life, and I'll vindicate, yea, these things that would have tried to smother thee, that would have tried to bring you unto heaviness. I've loosed the heaviness and set you free, and my glory's around about you, and your feet shall be taught of the Lord, and the scepter of Esther is upon you, and you'll go forth into the kingdom for such a time as this. You're in my timing, and I will promote you, and this haranguing of the enemy and other tongues that have really brought discouragement, I have loosed you above them, and they'll not prosper, but you'll have a new leaf in your life, and I'm writing a fresh chapter of joy upon your heart, saith the Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Yea, the glory of the Lord hath put upon you the mantle, because you have been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many. And as Elisha did plow the field and was diligent, I send to thee the multiplying of my powers upon you. And the glory of the Lord shall touch and heal, and you'll be strong in me. Arise up and know that I will bless you, and your family shall rejoice. For my son, my authority is upon you, and you'll see the strength of the Lord flow through you. Hallelujah. For my vision is with you, and your shoulders shall have the wisdom of the Lord. For my peace is upon you. My daughter, you'll compliment your husband, and you'll see the power of thy God move for this hour. And those that you've already travailed for, you press the battle of the gate, your loved ones shall know my power, and you will be glad. Amen. God bless you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to go ahead and give it back to Brother Glenn, and then we'll have a lot of ministry tomorrow. But those that want further ministry, I'll be staying down here. I just noticed the time is a little late for us. But God bless you. It's been a big day. Praise the Lord. And I'd just like to have just everyone just raise your hands and let's seal the authority of the Lord. That we're ready. Praise God. Hallelujah. To receive of the Lord. Nothing's going to be lost, for we're set free. Father, in the name of Jesus, we equip your people with your power. Lord, you have poured out upon us from your basket of glory the anointing of your word, and the glory of our God is upon every member. And I thank you for this power, and the anointing of the Lord shall settle upon it. Every family, and we thank you that your anointing shall go forth, and many ministries shall be strong and be raised up at this hour. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Praise God. Father, we praise you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.